my tie on in front, or yeah, it's okay. Huh? Okay, whew. Okay. So I call this the send me message. We kind of sang about that earlier, anyway, didn't we? I'd like to start out just for the introduction. We'll be in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 9 through 15. Wrong page. There it is. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. Why don't we pray first? Heavenly Father, thank you for the singing that we've been able to do tonight. And thank you that you've given the gift for music, gave it to David, and you've given it to others. We appreciate singing, and your word even says that that's part of the way by which Christians are filled with the Spirit is through the singing of your word. We thank you for that. Now we pray that you will bless us again this evening from your word as we read these different passages and ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this is just a summary statement that God will save the person who trusts in Jesus Christ. And the person who trusts in Jesus Christ is going to testify to his salvation. Okay? And by the way, when a person gets baptized, that is a testimony.
Right.
For the scripture saith, whosoever, and now it doesn't put somebody's specific name there, it puts everybody's name there. Mm-hmm. Whoever it is. Whosoever believeth on him, believeth on Jesus, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And so in the context of Paul writing this, that includes everybody, the whosoever, anybody. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the Lord, for the same Lord, over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And isn't that our message? That if somebody's willing to trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord will save him. Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins. One time, he didn't do half the first time and half the next time and maybe a few others he forgot the third time. One time for everybody, once and for all, and it was done. And then he goes, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Got to believe. A lot of folks hear the gospel but don't believe it. If they hear and believe, they can be saved. But if they don't hear, they can't believe because they don't know what to believe. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring tidings of good things. So these verses, they tell us that the gospel is for the Jews and the non-Jews. And this part of the book of Romans is specifically about the Jewish people. But Paul makes it plain that the gospel message wasn't just for the Jewish people. Right. That's what the Jewish folks, some of them anyway, would have wanted. Okay, that's why they're going around and say, oh, if you don't get circumcised and practice the law, you can't be saved. Well, that wasn't true. Okay? The gospel is for all people. Everybody. And these verses also tell us that everyone must hear the gospel. It's not just for our friends or just for our town or just for a certain group of people. The gospel must be heard by everyone. And it also says in these verses that no one can hear unless someone else presents the message. Oh, but they'll hear on the internet. Well, they might, but that doesn't exclude that we're the one that's supposed to talk to the person that's near to us. And then hearing is useless unless a person actually believes the message. Because, as I already said, many people hear, but they do not believe. It's when they hear and believe that there can be that they'll be saved. So now I'm going to start in verse 16 through 18, where it says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" So Paul is talking, like I said, in the greater context. He's talking to the Jewish people, but he's integrating everybody into this part here, explaining that you'll be saved if you believe the gospel. And then he's quoting from Isaiah and said, "Lord, who's believed our report? I gave out the message, but I'm having a hard time finding anybody that's believing." Sometimes I think about Noah, you know, and he was had 120 years to preach righteousness, and how many got into the ark?
Yep.
Not too many.
That's right.
Now, I'm sure there'd have been place for a few more.
Amen.
Okay, if somebody had wanted to go in. But after all that preaching, only eight were in there, and I'm not sure that they were eight saved people. I just know they were his wife and his kids, and three of his kids, and the three wives. We don't know the rest. We don't know all people that were alive in those days. There were a lot of people that died in that flood. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to come back to that. But I say, have they not heard? Yea, yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. I think he's talking about the message through creation there. Throughout all creation, people hear that there is a God. Everybody sees that. Not everybody wants to believe that. There's plenty of intellectuals who don't want to believe that. And it's just like, you know, the nose on their face. And yet, they say, well, no, it's not there. Okay? But he says the message has gone out. God's eternal gospel, we'll call it. And people still refuse to recognize that he's there. But the interesting thing here is that people hear lots of stuff, and people believe what they hear. There's all kinds of messages out there, and people believe what they hear. I saw a thing, this is nothing personal or anything, but I'm driving along, and there's a big giant poster on, I think it was US 101, somewhere down south, and it said, "Fatima cannot sell cookies at the market." That's a message. Okay, that's a message. Okay, she had on her burqa and all that stuff. You know, it's the thing about racism and stuff, you know. And you know what? Fatima can sell cookies at the market if her husband will let her. Okay, it's not our fault to not buy cookies. It's her husband's fault to not let her go. Okay, so that's what I'm saying is there's a message there. Okay, you with me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, we are at San Francisco. I'm sorry about this, but we're at San Francisco, and there's a group of people. They were going along on their bicycles, and they were saying, "We are all Palestinians." It was a group of men following a woman on a bicycle. She would chant something like that. That was the same word all the time. "We are all Palestinians." And the men would repeat. And I'm telling you that in Palestine, there's no woman that's going to be going along in her, you know, her sports clothes, leading a group of men and making chants that the men are going to follow. That is definitely not, "We are all Palestinians." I have friends who are from Palestine, so I'm not, you know, I'm just saying that's not the truth. You with me? Okay. But people are hearing all kinds of message, and you know what? They believe what they hear. They believe whatever they hear. All we like sheep. We're like sheep. And we hear something, oh yeah, that's the truth. Well, it's not the truth. But we heard it and we believed it. Okay, so faith comes by hearing. People hear things. We all know that people hear things. We're reading stuff, we're watching the news, we're watching TV, we advertisements. And that's what everybody around you is believing. Unless you tell them the truth. To give them the word of God. Now they've got something solid to think about. They can believe the word of God. But they can't believe the word of God unless they hear it. But they're hearing all that other stuff all the time. So when we're over there in France, and I have tried to reach out to some of the young people sometimes. Specifically, this happened at Périgueux. And so I'm reaching out to the young people and giving them track and talking. Oh, no, I'm not interested. I've just recently converted to Islam. Mm. Oh, really? Yeah. Why? Well, because if it's not me out there giving out tracts, then there's nobody else. But the Muslims are out there talking about Allah and the greatness of Allah and Islam and all that. And, you know, the French people have already rejected Christianity. And there's that, you know, hole that's always there, and people want to fill up that spiritual need. And what's out there? Well, there's Buddha, and there's Krishna in Hinduism, and there's Muhammad. And that's the message that's out there. Faith comes by hearing. And they believe what they hear, and they're not hearing anything else. That's kind of shameful. We need to be sharing the gospel. That's what we need to do, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's when you hear the Word of God that true faith can take place in somebody's heart. On the other side, whether people believe our gospel message or not, the message must go out. It's not our concern that they do or don't believe. Our concern, what God has told us to do, is to witness to our faith in Him. We must witness. So let's read Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, that's what the Lord wants us to do. Throughout the entire creation, we are to proclaim the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Well, these are new glasses, but they don't seem to be working. Okay, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, baptizing those who believe, obviously, okay, baptizing them, the new believers, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then also turn over to Acts chapter 1, because we don't find that passage in the book in the Gospel of Luke, because Luke saved that part of his gospel to put in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay, so the Great Commission is actually in Luke, but it's not in the Gospel of Luke, it's in the Acts of the Apostles by Luke. Who hath believed our report? That's the question that Isaiah has presented. Lord, who hath believed our report? Yeah, I think he was kind of depressed. You know, and he was kind of miserable, I guess. That's why the Lord said, don't worry about it. There's 7,000 out there who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Okay? In Psalm 40:16, we read, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Now, if you're here tonight, I think it's because you love the Lord's salvation. Who is the Lord's salvation? It's Jesus.
Yes.
Well, if we love the Lord's salvation, if we love Jesus, then let's magnify the Lord. The Lord be magnified. So I looked up other translations of that phrase, and it could be, the Lord be lifted up, or the Lord be advanced, or the Lord be boasted about, or the Lord be promoted, or the Lord be proudly spoken of. That's different ways you can say the same thing. the Lord be magnified. Okay, so God wants you to be proud of him and to speak proudly of him. He wants to be promoted by you. He wants you to boast about him. Wow, have you heard what Jesus did?
Yes.
You know, other people are saying, oh, have you heard this or have you heard that? The Lord wants us to lift him up and advance his cause. That's what God wants us to be doing. The Lord be magnified. In the Old Testament, the mission of Israel was to magnify, to advance the Lord upon the earth. But Israel failed. Now, until the Lord returns, it's the mission of the church. The mission of the church is evangelism. It's to magnify and to promote the Lord Jesus Christ until he returns. Again, Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, to the entire creation. Don't hide this part here or that part there. Of course, the Lord hasn't returned yet, has he?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay? Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is a new declaration of his death and resurrection until he comes. That's what Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We do this until he comes. Once he comes, whoop, we're gone. We're not going to do that anymore. Okay? But we continue until he comes. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. This word show is also translated to declare openly. It's not a thing we hide. It's to declare openly, to proclaim, to preach, to laud, or to celebrate. All these are ways that we can translate that word that is translated shoo in our King James. He's referring to evangelism. Every time we practice the Lord's Supper, we are evangelizing maybe our children, or maybe the visitors, or maybe someone who had come in the past, but they're coming again for some reason, and they haven't really fully understood it. We are testifying that we believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And in fact, this word, the Greek word that's translated is built upon the same Greek word as the word gospel. That was interesting. I saw that. The gospel. Go ye into all the world. Okay? You go. That's it, translated there, go ye, but it says you go, right? Huh? You go into all the world. The Lord's instruction here clearly refers to evangelism by all believers.
Yes.
Okay, it's not just, you know, the missionary and the pastor or the deacon, whatever. It's all believers. You go. You evangelize. Many Christians will ask themselves, can I evangelize? Am I able to evangelize? Am I able to witness to my faith? And the answer is yes. It's just a simple yes. The Lord has authorized you to evangelize, and the Lord has enabled you to evangelize. Jesus authorized each of us to witness in Matthew 28:18, where he said, all power, and that word also means all authority, has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. I think it said in heaven and in earth. I just wrote part of it there. All power, all authority has been given unto me. Go. Go therefore. Go preach the gospel. Whatever your concerns might be, no, Lord, not me, is not the answer. Okay? Moses tried that one. And even Jonas tried that one. But in the end, hey, they had to do what God wanted them to do. Okay? So, I said that this morning also. No is not the answer. Jesus has not only authorized our evangelism. So, when you go out and evangelize, you have the right to do that because God said so. You're not like, well, is it okay to do it? Yeah, it's okay to do it because God said so. But he's also enabled or empowered each of us, each of you, to witness when in Acts 1:8, that we read earlier, he says, you shall receive power. Okay, he says, power here is the dynamite. You receive the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Why? So that you can make gibberish? No, no. In order to be witnesses for Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, that we can witness to the ends of the earth. And of course, when we talk about to the ends of the earth, to the uttermost parts of the earth, we're talking about missions.
Right.
Missions requires certain elements, okay? It needs, I'm using M's, but I'm not excluding women. Men, means, and methods. Who, how, and what. Today we're focusing on the men, the people, the believers, the goers. We're going to leave, you know, the how and the what, or the means and the methods, for the Lord to discuss with you another time, okay? But right now we're just focusing on the people. The bottom line is that missions is the mission of the church.
Yes.
The very reason that we exist, that the church exists, was so that the message of Christ would be propagated throughout the centuries until he returns. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the church is in continual construction until the Lord stops the building of the church by the rapture. And I'm not talking about the building there. I'm talking about the people who believe and are being introduced into the body of Christ. Matthew 18:20 says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Okay, so Jesus promised, he's empowered us, he's given us the energy, he's enabling us, and he's with us through the Holy Spirit. Right, until, it says here, to the end of the world. But it says in the Greek, it says right to the end of the Ionion. Okay, which means end of the age. We're talking about end of the church age. Okay, why is that? Okay, because those guys that translated back then were amillennial. Okay, so that's why they didn't know there was something else, you know. But why does it say that? Why do you say the end of the world? Well, I mean, why did Christ say the end of the age? Well, because when he raptures us out, then we're not going to be down here anymore. And that's why he said that. So that's not a big deal, but it's important to understand that word. It doesn't mean the end of the world. It means the end of the church age. Because after the church age, where are we going to go? And then after that, where are we going to go? But we're going to go up to be with Jesus, and we come down with Jesus, and we'll always be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Apart from that moment on. I was going to say, a partir de ese momento, but that's the wrong language. So I just want to encourage us that we not fail in our mission as Israel failed in its mission. In Psalm 40, verse 9, David says, I have not refrained my lips, nor kept your salvation a secret in my heart. Because we believe in Jesus, it's in our heart. And until that person testifies to his salvation, it's in his heart. It's personal. It's hidden. And God doesn't want that. He wants it in our heart, but he wants us to speak it out so that others can know. Okay, and David says that right there in Psalm 40, verse 9. I have not refrained my lips, so you speak it, nor kept your salvation a secret in my heart. That, to me, that's, wow, that's pretty profound, because too many people, they just keep it in there and they don't talk about it because they don't know if they have the right to, or maybe the person doesn't want to listen to them. You won't know unless you say something.
Sure.
So I think I mentioned this morning, the word Christian means little Christ or like Christ. And so the Lord Jesus himself said, lo, I come. This is in Psalm 48. Lo, I come, I delight to do thy will. Okay, when he chose to come to the earth to do his ministry and then die on the cross and then raise from the grave, he told God, his Father, he said, I'm coming, I'm here, I'm happy to do thy will. And my question for us tonight is, are we happy to do God's will? Are we pleased to do God's will? Do we delight to do God's will? So we're all supposed to witness to those around us. And yet there are some who God is calling to go farther out, to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the needs out there in the rest of the world, even here, okay, we see that more and more, the needs in America growing and growing and growing, but throughout the needs are limitless. There's not a limit to what a Christian can be useful to the Lord doing as he goes out with the gospel. So the big question, why not you? What hinders you? Why not you? Is there something that's keeping you from going out, or at least preparing to go out? Is there something that's keeping you back? And why not simply tell the Lord, just like I told the Lord back in 1976, why not tell him, here I am, Lord, I'm available, I will go, use me, send me. It doesn't mean he's going to do anything particular. I thought I was going to come up and be a pastor in Davis when I said yes. And even Sophie thought that that's what I was going to do. And when she married me, she thought, wow, I'm going to be living in Davis, California. But then here we are, 36 years later, actually about 40 years later. You know, first, you know, you make that decision, and then you make it to the field. It's not the same day, you know. And so are you available? Would you say yes to God? Or would you say, no, not me? I encourage you to magnify the Lord. That's in just your personal evangelism, your personal life. Be available. If God wants you to do something, be available to serve the Lord. Pastor?